Hi, I'm Greg Lefebvre, creator and host of the Compulsive Storyteller podcast. Welcome to another segment of Pass the Mic, where once or twice a month, we invite a talented guest with a great story to join us on the pod to tell their story and or to chat with me about the art of storytelling. I'm excited to introduce today's guest, Ansa Edom, a storyteller, writer, and walking dating disaster in Washington, D.C. For much of her adult life, she's been navigating single life with its complicated twists and turns and shares her stories on stage and in writing. Her stories have helped make her the 2022 Moth Slam Championship Storyteller and put her on stages like Washington, D.C.'s John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts and the Lincoln Theater. You can find her on TikTok at Ansa, that's at A-N-S-A, and check out some of her musings by subscribing to her newsletter, Red Flags. For everything else, check out ansaedom.com/everything. That's ansaedim.com/everything.
So here's my story. I started dating at 28 after a divorce, and I had married the first person who asked me out, figuring that I should take the chance while I had it. A few years later, as the pandemic was forcing couples to really reevaluate who they wanted to hear chewing for the rest of their lives, I found myself calling off a wedding. I was engaged to another person. And after that, I was just dating for the first time, truly dating. So,
go ahead. Can I interrupt?
Of course.
Why did you call it off?
I call off the engagement because in the pandemic, I just was looking at my fiance and I had this realization that I had rushed it. Mm. We had been together for a couple of years. Everything moved really quickly. And I think that at my age, as someone who was at that time just entering her 30s, there was a lot of messaging about, you've got to do this. You know, time's running out. You have to say yes to the next person.
Right.
And he wasn't perfect. No one is. But I had pretty low self-esteem, I would say. And as my self-esteem was rising, I was like, wait a second, this guy's actually not that nice to me. And he's not that consistent. And I don't think I want to be married at all. You know, I really was questioning all of that. And if I did want to be married, I wanted to be more excited than I was.
Right.
So I decided to call it off about 6 weeks before the wedding day.
Well, at least it wasn't the day before.
At least I gave him some time. So back in 2021, after I'd called off this wedding, I decided to take a girls' trip with a friend of mine to Iceland. She had never been to Iceland. I had never been to Iceland. And it just sounded like a nice little getaway, as tickets were cheap, as airlines were starting to sell tickets again. So we go to Iceland, and she was delayed by one day. So I was alone in Iceland. And I decided to open up my favorite app at the time, Tinder. And I start swiping through Tinder, and I met this guy. I don't know about your dating life, but European Tinder is really where I have the most fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I met this guy. He had fluffy hair. He had photos of him surfing. He was in a pilot's uniform. And in one photo, he was actually playing with puppies. So he was really cute.
Touched all the bases, yeah.
Yeah, he ticked all the boxes. And he was Irish, living in Iceland. So his profile said an Irishman in Iceland. I swiped right, and we matched. I told him that I was in town, and I could meet whenever. And we decided to get a drink. When he showed up, he was in a BMW. Which was rare on the streets of Iceland. He was in a really nice car. He was dressed up really professionally, and he was wearing really expensive sneakers. They're the Onitsuka sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I always have to Google them, but they're really, really good, and he looked really good. So we had a couple of beers, and we chatted, and he was just really great. He just seemed like the perfect gentleman, and he was really handsome and very tall. And just lovely. So, of course, we go back to my hotel room. And we're having a great time in my hotel room. I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, this guy is amazing. And he really likes me. and we're getting together, and oh my God, this is so lovely. I'm being ravished on vacation. It just seemed like such a storybook tale. And we fell asleep, and in the morning he kissed me goodbye and he disappeared. And the next day my friend arrived. So as he's leaving, I get in the car that I rented and I drive to the airport to pick up my friend. But I couldn't stop thinking about him throughout the whole week. And I had told him, you know, my friend's in town now, so I'm unavailable because I am, after all, here on vacation with my friend. So I'm not going to abandon her. But on the last night of the trip, my friend and I had this really big dinner, a kind of a last dinner, a last meal together. And we went to bed. We are old ladies, my friend and I. We go to bed at 9 p.m. So we had dinner and we both went to our respective hotel rooms and said goodnight. We'll catch our flight in the morning. So of course, what did I do? I texted the Irishman. And he came straight to my hotel room, was ravishing me, and it was lovely. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm in love. This is so perfect. Wouldn't this be great if this was my next husband? And the night ended, and in the morning, same as usual, he kissed me goodbye. And I went home, back to DC, where I live. As I'm home, I can't stop talking about this guy. And we're texting how much we miss each other, and oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if you lived in Iceland? So about a week later, we're still texting. And I'm taking this as a sign that he's in love with me. And he says, I wish you were here right now. And I took that as a sign that I should get on a plane right now.
Wow.
And I did. I decided that I was going to be Julia Roberts. I was going to drop everything and I was going to catch a flight and chase love, or at least a really good sex life. Put my two dogs in the car. I packed a backpack. I drove to daycare, threw them there. And on my drive to the airport, I was driving and texting, which I don't recommend, but I was booking an Airbnb on the drive because I'm crazy, but I'm safe. I don't know this man. I don't know where he lives. And I need to be able to distance myself if anything happens. This would end up coming in handy. And I get on a plane and I tell no one until right before I put my phone on airplane mode. And I send a text to my family and I say, I'm going back to Iceland right now. I'm on the plane. I will let you know when I land. And then I hit airplane mode. Didn't respond to anyone for the 6-hour flight to Iceland. By the time I landed, it was an overnight flight and they're 6 hours ahead or 5 hours ahead. So by the time I landed, it was the next morning and I text him, I'm here. And about 30 minutes later, he responded, welcome. And I thought, welcome, that's it. And I text back, so when are we going to hang out? And he said, let's catch up after dinner. I'm a little foolish at this point, but I'm still thinking, okay, yeah, maybe he's busy. Maybe he is at work or something like that. I did just come randomly, but he invited me, or so I thought. After dinner, he comes over. It's lovely again. I had spent the day shopping, eating lunch, just kind of flying high on this excitement of the rush of this trip. And he comes over, but this time he decides to bring a single beer for himself because I told him that I don't like beer. So instead of bringing something else for me, he just brought beer for himself. Okay. And things progress quickly, of course. We're tangled in the sheets. He sleeps over. And the next morning I say, so what are we doing today? I'm here for 4 days. I thought we were going to have a lovely long weekend. And he says, yeah, I'll see you later after dinner. Again, I'm thinking maybe he has work to do. So I go to a spa, I have a fancy lunch, you know, I'm again having day two of this lovely vacation. Right around 7, he knocks on the door to my Airbnb, which is a buzzer, I have to let him in. So he buzzes on the Airbnb. And this time something was a little off. He seemed a little less lucid. I'm not cool enough to do drugs, but it seemed to me that he was on something or drunk or something. And again, he brought just one beer.
Weird.
And I'm thinking, is this guy actually the hero I've made him out to be? Or who is this guy? we get to chatting and we're sitting around, you know, we've made passionate love, so we're not wearing clothing. And we're sitting around at the dining table in my Airbnb, and he just strikes up a conversation. And I said, you know, you said you were a pilot for Iceland Air, but you said you were laid off because of the pandemic. But I've flown here twice in 2 weeks. So the planes are clearly going. So what's going on with your job situation? And he said, oh, yeah, I was fired for refusing to get vaccinated. Oh, no, we are in a pandemic. And no matter how people feel about whether or not to be vaccinated, In my head, I thought, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. There is a stereotype of a certain type of person who would rather lose their job than get vaccinated. And I'm so afraid. And he continues and he says, wait, are you vaccinated? And I said, well, yeah, I had to be in order to fly here the first time. The second time the vaccination requirements had been lifted. But I said, I'm vaccinated. And he went wild. And he said, I can't believe you. I thought you were smarter than this. He sits up in his chair. Now, remember, we are naked at this point and everything is swinging around. And he says, you can't trust the scientists. You mean to tell me I'm smart enough to fly a plane, but I'm not smart enough to understand DNA science? And that's exactly what I was saying.
Yikes.
So he stood up and I'm thinking, I am in a foreign country. It's Iceland. It's not, you know, the middle of nowhere. And I travel regularly. I travel solo every year, actually. But I don't know. I'm alone here. I am a power lifter. I'm 5'3". I'm a heavy set woman, but I can lift the heaviest of them. And this man was a 6'2" kind of scrawny guy. And I thought to myself, okay, I could take him if I had to. But then he takes it to an extreme. And he says, let me guess, you don't like guns either. And I thought, well, I don't like guns. I live in Washington, D.C. I don't know about you, but I hear gunshots all the time. I have a legitimate fear of guns, and I'd love for them to be regulated or something that just helps make us safer. And he says, typical American. So let me just think, if Donald Trump were to round up all of the, and then he said a racial slur, referring to me as a black woman.
Mm. Yikes.
And he said, you wouldn't want a gun to protect yourself? And I paused, I stood up, my chest is swinging around. And I said, what did you say? And he continued as if he had just said that pineapple belongs on pizza and not a racial slur. And he says, oh, it's not a big deal. I lived in Florida for 6 months. They say it there all the time. That was when I decided to close my lips and I was not going to say another word. I was afraid, honestly, of my own reaction. Was that, I'll tell you, Greg, I didn't know if I was going to hit the guy or what. But again, I just wanted to stay still and I completely shut down. He continued to rant. And as he's ranting, he's collecting his belongings. He's stuffing his pants into his, or his legs into his pants, and he's grabbing his half empty one beer bottle. And he says, I just can't believe you. Again, I thought you were smarter than this. And he grabs his little bag, he stuffs his feet into his sneakers. And he decides it's time to leave. At this point, I very quietly have put on a t-shirt and some shorts. I'm sitting on the bed, quietly, staring right at him, challenging him, but also trying to be safe. And kind of recognizing the danger in the situation. The fact that I put myself in this situation because I was chasing this romantic ideal to an extreme. I didn't just meet a guy in my neighborhood or in my town. I flew all the way or halfway across the ocean to be with a guy I had met one or two times on vacation. He storms out, and right before he leaves, he says, enjoy the rest of your trip. I had 2 days left. And you know what? I did enjoy the rest of my trip because I'm a storyteller, and I spent the rest of my trip on tables in bars in Reykjavik, telling everyone how this Irishman in Iceland had wronged me and how I was so wrong for thinking that this could ever work.
Wow.
It was the worst date I'd ever been on. And I have to tell you, Greg, you would think I would have learned my lesson. But just last year, so 2 years later, I was on a vacation in Scotland by myself. I downloaded my favorite app, Tinder, and I met another guy. And guess what we did for our second date?
No idea.
We went to Iceland together. And you wouldn't believe that I am in love, and maybe I am Julia Roberts. But I'll never forget that terrible, terrible time that I took a risk and flew to Iceland for a guy I'd met just one time.
Wow. Well, that's quite a story. I'm blown away, yes. Here's my dating story in response to yours. On my podcast, I already have posted a compilation of three stories. My podcast is The Compulsive Storyteller. Three stories about dating mishaps called dating disasters. But this story happened since that time. And I'm going to use a pseudonym for the name of my date. I'm going to call her Pam and not mention the name of the dating app at all. Don't need to be sued. So, but anyway, I met Pam on a site, and after endless texting, we finally agreed to meet for dinner. She wanted to go to a new tapas place in the West Village where she said she knew the owner. But when we were actually walking to the restaurant, she let slip that she'd done some research to find out who the owner was so she could drop the name and we'd get much better service. And she told the receptionist that she was a friend of the owner. Then she told the manager who came over because, you know, she was a friend of the owner. And finally, she told the waitress who seated us that she was a friend of the owner. And first, she wanted to order a bottle of, it's funny, a bottle of red wine. Alcohol is involved in both our stories. And when I said I was a white wine drinker, she said, well, it's a great red. You'll love it. And she ordered a bottle of red wine. Early red flag. Then she proceeded to pound down like two glasses of red wine like she was in this kind of chugging competition. And then next came a long series of questions she had for the waitress about the menu. There were so many of them, it was embarrassing. I felt like rolling my eyes. And then when she asked, what was I going to order? I had selected an array of different tapas treats. And she said, she simply countermanded my choice. No, no, no. For the main, we're going to have branzino. I've always thought that when fish has to come from a long ways away, like the Mediterranean Sea, for example, it usually isn't fresh and often has a texture of shoe leather. So in this regard, when our branzino came, it did not disappoint. It was like pure rawhide. And she also ordered a number of tapas for us, but not the ones that I wanted to order. And as they arrived one by one, she would completely reject them. She'd say, I can't eat this. It's too salty. You said this one was tart, but it's sweet. This is supposed to be warm, not cold. And by now, I just was getting more and more embarrassed. And I could tell that the waitress had reached her limit as well. And I noticed that the manager was observing us from afar, sort of amused. And so it occurred to me that maybe he'd called the owner and knew that, you know, she was basically bullshitting. And also, she's getting more and more drunk. Now she's angling for a free, they had these signature cocktails, and she's angling for a free signature cocktail, but both the waitress and the bartender are consciously ignoring her request because they just know she's full of it. And then next, she decides to head for the ladies' room, and she was so drunk that she was kind of meandering between tables. Maybe meandering is the wrong word, careening between tables. And she had a long scarf, which was coming out of her pocketbook and trailing about 10 feet behind her. And I just couldn't help but laugh. And the staff was looking at her, looking at me and laughing as well. While she was gone, I noticed there was a downstairs club. And I thought, well, I'll just explore that for a minute. And I go downstairs and there's our waitress again, downstairs, kind of doing double duty. So she says, online first date? And I responded, actually, yeah. First date, I guess I'm a slow learner. It's going to be my last first date. So she put her hand on my shoulder and said, poor boy. And then I went upstairs again, and she'd stop to drunkenly harass some people at the next table. And I tapped her on the shoulder and said, thanks so much for a great meal. Take care now. And I'm not sure she even recognized me because she sort of dismissed me with a backhanded gesture. That was it. And my resolve is no more online dating ever. And maybe I should write it on my forehead, and maybe even backwards, so when I look in the mirror, I can't possibly forget it. So that's my online dating story.
Oh, that sounds so stressful.
It was, yeah, it was. So well, this has been a pleasure. I thank you for coming on the show. I really enjoyed your story, and I hope you enjoyed mine.
Thank you. I really did. That's everyone has a drunken date story. And my goal is to never be the drunk one in that scenario.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, thanks for coming on again and have a good one.
Thank you. You too, Greg.
Okay. Bye-bye. Are you ready to tell your own story on The Compulsive Storyteller? We're launching a new segment of guest storytelling, and we want to hear your stories. Email a voice recording to hello@thecompulsivestoryteller.com. I'll play selected stories on upcoming episodes. Try to be as clear as possible in your recording, and we reserve the right to lightly edit them for length and clarity. Leave your name or contact information in your voicemail or email, and let us know if you'd like the story to be anonymous. I can't wait to hear from you. The Compulsive Storyteller is now co-produced by Greg Lefebvre and Fadia Monserrat, who's also arranged the music and created the special effects. Emily Ramon does design, research, editing, and marketing. Peter Kakoma has made our theme music and for many seasons co-produced the show with me. If you enjoyed this week's episode, let us know. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Compulsive Storyteller, and we'd love to hear from you. This podcast is independently produced, so we really appreciate all your help and support. Share the show with your friends, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and please leave a review. You can also check out our website, thecompulsivestoryteller.com, for more information. Thanks for listening, and if you didn't like this one, the next one will be another story. All characters and events portrayed in this podcast are based on my truth, with some names and facts changed for privacy. The conversations and dialogues are based on my best memory, but are not word-for-word recreations.